We'll read verses 14 through 26, finishing up the chapter there, James chapter 2. And there it says that troubling question to some. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We'll bow our heads together and ask the Lord to bless our lesson tonight. Father, we thank you for the power and mercy that comes at your hand. Father, both of these things are for our good. We seek them, Lord, in our life. Power and mercy and love and strength, all of these things, Lord. We want your will, however it's doled out to us, Father, however it's presented to us, Father, however you call us in it, we want your will, Father. And when we don't want your will, oh Lord, strengthen our desire for it, and may we desire it. May we desire to desire your will, oh Lord, however it looks, Father. Help us always to purpose ourselves for what you purpose us for. Open the word to us tonight, Lord. That's your purpose, I trust, that we would receive everything that you have for us in this piece of the word, Lord, that we can be strengthened and edified in. I pray that it would be so tonight. Be glorified, and may we be blessed in it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week, I closed up with that statement that we'd be considering these troublesome passages that cause a bit of heartburn, I believe was the term that I used. That causes some heartburn to some folks of faith. James has been called any number of things. If you did a quick Google search on James, and I don't always recommend such things, because, well, Google will present a lot of garbage to you, as you well know. And in spiritual things, that is just as true as in secular things. And if you go on Google James and just look for a commentary or something along those lines just to see what people are saying about it, I will tell you, you will not agree with a large part of it, or at least I trust that you won't. There's a bunch of things that are said about James, and it's not just in the present day. It's been in some generations past, centuries past. He's been called legal. He's been called anti-grace. He's been called everything that Paul isn't in faith. And I think that that's entirely unfair, and it's entirely unscriptural. And I trust that as you have studied James for yourself, and if you haven't studied James and you're just doing it for the first time here together, I trust that after we're done with James, you'll realize this man's not anti-faith. This man is not anti-Paul. This man was hand in hand, as it were, with Paul in his ministry. He just came from a little bit of a different perspective, perhaps, sometimes. Now, as we look here in James 2 and verse 26, that last passage that we just read, it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And this is one of those passages that those ones who look at this and say, it's grace, grace, grace. We're under grace. Well, of course we are. Grace, grace, grace. That unmerited favor that we receive just by believing the Lord. By his being our salvation. Of course it's about grace. So faith without works is dead also, you'll see them say. Well, it's not about works. Read the book of Romans. We understand this, right? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Salvation by grace. We know all of these things, but we'll look at some of the things that they might use as an instrument against this man, James. Romans 10, verse 9, we know if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. True. 2 Timothy 1:9 goes right along with what he said in Romans. Who has saved us? God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Works are not what brings eternal life to us. We know this. If we know anything about Paul and the gospel that we adhere to and that we learn and trust that he presented to us, we understand that it's not according to works that we are, well, that we enter into the courts of heaven when we breathe our last breath. In verse 14, so how can we sign off on James's statement there in our chapter? Where he says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? That's that big gasp statement. Can faith save him? Well, let's answer that question tonight. You know, I think that a lot of the times, and this is just kind of a side note, a lot of the times when we run into these things that seem like contradictions in the Word. Well, I'll tell you, I might have shared it with you. I don't know if I have before, but I used to have a Cookie Monster doll when I was a kid. It wasn't a doll. He was an action figure, of course. He was a stuffed creature. Cookie Monster, rattly eyes and all that stuff, and he was plush and that sort of thing, and he had a tongue in it, and I didn't have a single toy that I left intact completely, and I ripped out his tongue. And so when I ripped out his tongue, there was this, he still had a black cardboard mouth like this, and it was felt covered, and there was a nice little hole right here where his tongue was at. Well, that hole, you know, I was going to make use of whatever was presented to me because I was resourceful. And when there was food that I didn't want to eat on the plate, Cookie Monster, so cute, sitting there next to me, Mom didn't suspect, evidently, because I was cramming food I didn't want to eat into that hole. You know, you don't want it, you just tuck it away. It goes away, right? You know what? Well, you know what happens. It defiled old Cookie Monster. Cookie Monster started smelling pretty rank there after a while because the hot dogs and the beets and whatever it is I didn't want to eat, it got put away. We can't do that with the Word. You don't just tuck it away because it doesn't go anywhere. If you don't understand a part of the Word and you just say, well, I'm not going to pay attention to that, I'm going to stick with what I know and stick with what I like, then those things will, well, I'm not going to say that the Word will start to fester, but your lack of knowledge and your lack of confidence and faith in the Word will fester. And it's not, we don't want any part of us to fester. We don't want to be weak in our faith, and we don't want to be weak in our instruction when the Lord gives us something that we might understand. So when the Word seems to contradict what we believe and what we know to be true, find out what it's trying to say. Don't just be reflexive and put it away. It's better to address it, face it head on. And if the Lord changes your mind in something that you believe, well, if he changes your mind, then that's a blessing, isn't it? And if he reinforces what you already know, that's a blessing as well. So, it's the glory and the honor of kings to search out a matter, so that's what we're going to do this evening. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Well, the first thing we're going to consider is two approaches. The first of two approaches, faith without works. What profit is it to anybody? Faith without works. Let's consider this. Faith without works. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Well, can we profit anybody, naturally speaking? Naturally speaking, can we profit anybody with faith that does not have works to accompany it? Now, if you remember all the way back to lesson one, someone asked me tonight, I think actually it was Eli, how much longer do we have on this study, Dad? He didn't say it quite like that. I'm like, well, probably a good long time, because it's taken us a long time. We're already 10 lessons into this. But all the way back in the first lesson, if you recall, I told you it was best to approach the book of James for what it is, and that's sort of a recipe book for godly Christian living. It's not a book that you will roll out to somebody who says, I don't know what I believe, I don't know where I'm going when I die, I don't know anything about the hereafter. Here's the book of James. It's all there. No, I don't recommend that necessarily. The Spirit can do whatever he chooses with the Word, and he can speak to the heart that's willing. But there are other better scriptures, better pieces of scripture. The book of James is for believers, written for believers, written as a recipe book for us to progress in faith, to grow in faith. It should be approached as an instruction manual for the redeemed to become more than just redeemed as believers. We're supposed to grow in this. So regarding this profit, and it's P-R-O-F-I-T, it's the benefit, the above and beyond. What profit is it to have faith without works? How can we become more than only redeemed, if you can have such a thing? And you can, because we know that there's more than just redemption. We're going to look at it from a couple of different angles. What profit is it to another if we have faith and not works? Naturally speaking, not much. It's not much. I believe in the Lord. I believe in God. I believe in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all of those things that I know that a good Christian is. And we've talked about this ad nauseum perhaps in the last couple of weeks. But just as a quick review, here's someone that has a need. I believe that the Lord is good. And I believe that he can satisfy your need. I'm hungry, he says. He's going to satisfy it. In the meantime, I have a big old loaf of bread. I'm just going to stuck back here in my back pocket. Simple? Yes. Oversimplifying? Perhaps. He has a need. I have a need, or I have the provision for that need. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to trust the Lord to deliver you from your need. Simple, again. Just simple. The person of faith, the person of faith who, well, wants to act out that faith, wants to do as the Lord calls us to, will demonstrate that love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, and all of those things that characterize the fruit of the Spirit. James 2 and verse 15 makes a practical example of what I just said. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? What does it profit them? So naturally speaking, if I say, go be warmed and filled, and I keep it in my back pocket, the food that I have that I could share with them, it's nothing. It's of no profit to them. I've benefited them nothing. The warm feelings doesn't mean anything to them. If I have the means to provide them well-being, and I say, go be well, then I'm not profiting them. Obviously, there's no natural blessing there. And the same thing applies spiritually speaking. When it's in my hand to do good spiritually for another, and I'm not doing that as he gives opportunity. Can my faith save them? As I simply sit and have faith, and I recognize that someone needs faith, someone needs Jesus. I have Jesus, I have time, I have a moment, I can share that with them. Can my faith by itself, expressionless faith, can it save them? I've shared this before also. You know, it's pretty sad when you're not even 4 years deep and you're already regurgitating stories and stuff, but here we go, I'll recycle this one. When I knew that I was coming back here to take a public ministry and I was in Castle Rock, and everyone wanted to know, why are you leaving? And I told them, I'm going to become a pastor. All of a sudden, guys who never once expressed any measure of faith, any measure of relationship with Jesus, they wanted to sit down, they wanted to talk all of a sudden. All of a sudden, they want to come up and they want to say, you know what, man, I want to go to church, and you know, I believe, and all of these things. I don't want you to sit and make a mockery of them. But all of a sudden, all these ones came out, and literally, not literally, but they came out of the woodwork, figuratively. Came out of the woodwork to say, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian, and all of this. Where have you been for 5 years, man? You know, I've made my testimony pretty plain. That was something the Lord put on my heart when I was in Castle Rock. You let it out there, and you make sure that you don't make the mistakes you made when you were two blocks that way. You let it be known. And I did. And I wanted fellowship. And there were some who latched on, and some of us who had real brotherhood. Not just the brotherhood that they talk about under the fireman flag, which it has its own benefits, but real brotherhood, you know what it is. I'm like, where have you guys been? What's going on? There was an opportunity. If you don't express your faith, the blessing can't be there. If you keep it within, the blessing cannot be experienced. They kept it in and we didn't get to share a blessing. I mean, I enjoyed the moments that I had right before I left, but what could it have been if we'd been able to interact in that and exchange in that? Faith has to be expressed if it's going to be profitable. Now, in order to help us understand this passage, can your faith save them? I'm going to give you a couple of passages that's going to open that up. These passages will help us to understand exactly what James is saying here. Now, first of all, we'll give you a little context scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll read verses 12 and 13 first. You understand, Paul is talking to a saved man. A saved man here, Timothy, who's put in a position to speak to other believers. So it's not just, he's not just talking to this one who doesn't know what salvation is. He's not just talking to one who doesn't know what faith is, what redemption is, and all of those things. Timothy knows. And the ones that Timothy is going to be speaking to, outside of visitors and new ones that will be coming in, they're believers. And so the passage before the verse that I want you to look at here says, "Let no one despise your youth," Paul says to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:12, "But be an example to the believers." How? In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. All right, not all of those necessarily are action words. Not all of those necessarily are verbs, but each one of them requires a certain measure of demonstration. Yes? In word, he has to speak. In conduct, that is an action word. It's how you present yourself. It's how you act, how you love in spirit, in faith, in purity, all of these things. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. All of those things require some action there. All of those things are expressions of faith, expressions of who he is. Paul's saying, you need to bear it out. Now, here's the passage that I'm talking about here that will help us understand our passage in James. Meditate on these things. There's another action word, okay? Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Keep that in the back of your mind. It is not a show, but it is to be shown, right? You want to see progress. Don't you? How do you see progress? How do you demonstrate progress, right? You all get to see me four times a week up here. Well, when we're not doing all the live stream stuff, you see, four times a week, there should be a measure of progress after 20 times. Just naturally speaking, after 20 years, if I'm here 20 years, there should be some better presentation with progress as I demonstrate it and as you see it. It takes two of us. I have to show it, you have to see it. I have to express it, you have to identify it and determine for yourself whether progress is shown. He says, let your progress be evident to all in regards to the word, in regards to conduct, in regards to love, spirit, faith, purity, all of these things. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. There's a lot of action happening here. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. There's our term, save. Okay? Timothy was a saved man. So what is he saying? You'll save yourself and those who hear you. This is Paul speaking, the one that they say James is completely counter to. Paul is saying, hey, saved guy, you're going to save yourself. You see what I'm saying? He's the bringer of the grace message. And he speaks of Timothy saving believers and himself with his example of faithful working. Well, I hope that you understand that when James speaks of saving, and when Paul speaks of saving here, he's not talking about eternal security. He's not talking about eternal life. He's not talking about presenting Jesus for the first time in us believing, us receiving, and us understanding. You can turn to 2 Corinthians 6. He was speaking to a believer about believers. And he wasn't just talking about the new birth. It's an ongoing salvation. I listen to you all pray. I hope you guys understand that. I listen to you pray when you speak out loud. Praying is a benefit, and praying is a pleasure. And it's just something I've always done. There have been key phrases that different ones pray repeatedly, that they say often, and it sticks with me. I think I just mentioned Brother Joe. Joe Newman, how he used to pray, "This is indeed the word of God." It stuck with him, and it stuck with me that it stuck with him. It was a testimony. Brother Gary oftentimes prays about today being the day of salvation. It's something that has apparently stuck with him. It's something that means something to him. And when I hear him pray, it sticks to me. And that's the context that we're looking at in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And that's what James is referring to, and that's what Paul is referring to when he spoke to Timothy here. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Paul is speaking to believers. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. You've already believed. You've already accepted. You've already received. You've already been saved. Now, there's something more. Don't just receive it and cast it off. Receive more and cast it off and receive more and cast it off and let your faith sit inside fruitless and without life and without vibrance and without, well, without fruitfulness. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Anybody saved today? As far as accepted Jesus and made cleansed, redeemed? Anyone been redeemed just today? Today's your first day knowing Jesus? Well, no. But today is the day of salvation for you, is it not? You're saved from, ideally, the loss. The loss of riches that you might cast away in not being obedient to the Lord, in pursuing the works that he has for you. We're saved from the loss that will be suffered by us stopping cold and hanging out and holding tight. Even if we don't hold tight and hang out and just going a different direction, we can be very, very active in going a direction other than what the Lord has for us. Today is the day of salvation. To rescue us from that is what he's attempting to do. I remember a call I ran with Uncle Rod. This guy was hanging literally from a little chunk of rebar like this long sticking out of the spillway on Lake Jacomo. He hung there for an hour, he said. He went to go chase some little baby ducklings that were, he thought were stuck. And he tried to climb down, and he's just holding on there. For an hour he was there, by a little piece of rebar, one-handed. This guy was no stallion of strength either. He was smoked. Couldn't believe he was there for an hour. Uncle Rod reached over. I just grabbed on Uncle Rod and grabbed the fence. Uncle Rod reaches over, just pulls him right up. Grabs him and just pulls him up. And the guy says, that was the strongest arm I've ever felt in my whole life. Just rescued him. Say, you know, saved him. Now, the guy probably wasn't going to die if he had fallen. Okay? He wasn't going to die. But it was going to cost him, wasn't it? It was going to cost him. He was 20 feet up. He was going to slip on the stuff. He was going to break a leg. And Uncle Rod rescued him. Pulled him up. Saving from something doesn't mean saving from death, necessarily. It doesn't have to mean saving from... It just means saving from, well, from a bad day. And a bad day spiritually costs you eternally. It can. It can cost you eternally because a bad day spiritually can progress into a bad week spiritually, can progress into a bad month spiritually. And then you become completely lazy and you realize, I didn't let the Lord rescue me from all of these days. All of these days are lost. Yes, he saved me. He saved me for eternity. Man, I could have been saved on this day, and I could have been and should have been rescued on this day and on this day. God's people need to be saved from the power of their flesh, from the power of this world, from the power of the enemy, the impact of the enemy. We need to be saved continually, rescued continually. And how do we do this? The Lord sets out these works for us to do. Sometimes our work is simply to get up, pray in the morning, study the Word, go about our business occupying until he comes, go to work, watch our mouths as we speak in front of our co-workers, students, wife, husband, brothers and sisters. Sometimes our work is just that simple. Sometimes our work is that simple. Other times it's, hey, you pack up and you get down across the border, wherever it might be, and you need to speak to this person. I've heard so many stories about from people in our own meeting. You need to get up and be at this place at this time because this person is waiting. You've heard those stories. The Lord sets those works aside. He sets those works aside for us. He has it established for each one of us. And guess what? We talk about predestination, how, no. No, you're not predestined, you're saved, and you're saved, and you're not. No, of course not. But the Lord does have destiny for us. Lord has destined for us, nap time here shortly, has destined for us certain works, right? Certain things that He wants accomplished in our life. And as we walk in faith and we pursue this way and that way and satisfy those things, what is waiting for us? Full victory, saints. Complete overcoming. I mean, the closest place. The closest place to Him. Our being saved day by day is asking, Lord, what do you have for today? And as we walk simply in faith and pursue after what He has for us that day in obedience, we are rescued from the loss that we would have incurred for ourselves had we gone any other way. Does that make sense? Faith alone can't save you in the day. Faith without works is dead. I'm just going to sit right here. And the rest of the lesson, you'll get it. Right? I believe in my heart you'll know exactly what I have left for you. I got awkward, right? I'm going to work a little bit longer. All right? I have faith that the Lord can do anything He wants to do. But I also believe that my work tonight is to speak to you. Is to give to you at least... Oh my goodness. Y'all see what the clock says? The clock says it's 20 minutes till. My watch says it's 5 minutes after. I believe the will of the Lord is that we're going to close here in just a moment, and you're not going to get everything in this lesson. Saints, can your unexpressed faith save anybody? Can your unexpressed dead faith, can your idle faith, your fruitless faith be of benefit to anyone's day? And when I say fruitless, we say, well, I'm not going to talk to anybody today. I'm not even going out today. Well, do you talk to the Lord throughout your day? Do you get on your knees and speak to Him? That's not fruitless. That's not fruitless faith. That is a work that He has for you, isn't it? I could go on and on about what our works are intended to be. And what, well, faith without works actually is. But we simply don't have that time. Let me just say this. First, well, closing up here, 1 Timothy 4:15. He said that, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Today is the salvation for the believer who will hear you, is what Paul was saying to him. He's telling Timothy, don't forego the privilege that you have to let them hear the best prepared you. Does that make sense? Don't forego the opportunity to let them hear the very best that you have for them. I always said, and I'm sorry I'm talking about the old job so much today, but I always said when I came to the Lord, how am I going to deal with this when things don't go the way that I want them to in the back of the ambulance or on the fire truck? And the Lord made it plain to me. It's His business to do what He sees fit, but I better be ready to do everything I possibly can. Learn every protocol, learn every policy, everything I can possibly do. I'm supposed to, everything I'm entitled to do, everything that I was required and expected to do, I was to give it to Him, or give it to them, and then leave it in His hands. And you know what peace I had when I did that sort of thing? When I came walking away saying, I did every last thing, and they still died. Praise the Lord, that was absolutely His will, despite my every effort. It was His will, period. And that was that. That's what He tells Timothy to do. And saints, that's what He tells you to do. You prepare, and you prepare, and prepare by simply obeying His will, what He has for you in the day. Prepare for that day, looking for everything that He has for you. And sometimes that's simply to talk to Him throughout the day. Sometimes that's simply just knowing that He's there. Sometimes it's simply being still and knowing that He's God. Sometimes it's, I don't know what you have planned, Lord, but you told me to get in that car and drive that way and stop, what, however specific He gets for you in the moment. Do not forego the opportunity to be the absolute most prepared believer that you can be. Because in doing so, you will save yourself in the day. And you might save someone else in the process. And saints, I'm going to stop there.